talk with the author of Delirium, How the Sexual Counter-Revolution is Polarizing America. And you need only look at the headlines in the news this week to see examples of what she is talking about, from the debate over forcing women in Virginia to undergo a transvaginal ultrasound before having an abortion, to the debate over access and insurance coverage of birth control on the presidential campaign trail. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, February the 24th. Why are these sexually related social issues like birth control and abortion and women's rights and gay civil rights so front and center these days? Why isn't it the economy, stupid? And why are these battles being fought when many on the left thought they were won years ago? Our guest attributes this debate to the sexual counter-revolution. And we will find out what that is, wonder what you think of this idea, and welcome your questions and reactions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. Nancy L. Cohen is author of Delirium, How the Sexual Counter-Revolution is Polarizing America. She is also a historian and a contributor to the Huffington Post. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Happy to be here with you.
Thank you very much for joining us. So tell us, what is the sexual counter-revolution?
Well, as you just said, just look around us the past few weeks, and it is all on display with all these sexual politics when it was supposed to be an election about it's the economy, stupid. So my book, Delirium, tells the story of how a small group of reactionaries who want to control sex hijacked American politics. And basically, the sexual counter-revolution is what it sounds like. It is a reaction to the sexual revolution and feminism and gay rights. It's a movement that started about 40 years ago, and it has become one of the most powerful forces in our politics.
So this was this was a backlash to the sexual revolution.
Yes, a backlash, but, you know, backlashes tend to come and go pretty quickly. This has been a well-organized, sustained, politically powerful movement for the past 40 years that has really taken control of the Republican Party and has also had a tremendous effect on the Democratic Party as well.
Who started this?
Well, in fascinating, it was actually women who started it. Back in the early 1970s, a group of women, primarily very religious women, fundamentalist women, Orthodox Catholics, and Mormons, were kind of outraged and appalled by the changes in sexual behavior and also the changes in the family, that women were emerging from their traditional roles as wives and mothers. And they organized against the Equal Rights Amendment and successfully defeated it. And they organized against one of the first federal programs to provide child care for working mothers, and they defeated it. And they organized against gay civil rights, and they defeated that as well. And after these kind of grassroots campaigns, they started going into the Republican Party at the local and precinct level and winning positions of power there and start methodically taking over the Republican Party.
So how is it that this movement that, you know, started 40 years ago is still relevant today in American politics?
Well, it's still relevant today because there are still about 15 to 20% of the country that still holds these very extreme views about women's rights and gay rights and personal freedom. And they look at the sexual revolution and feminism and gay rights as, in a sense, having destroyed America, destroyed American civilization. And, you know, if we listen to the rhetoric today about going back to the Constitution or taking America back, what they really mean is taking America back to a time when birth control and gay sex was illegal, and it was perfectly legal to discriminate against women.
So What is this movement you're calling? You're calling it a shadow movement. Why do you call it a shadow movement in government that's behind this?
Well, I call it a shadow movement because, one, it started at the grassroots level and won many victories in on campaigns and in the Republican Party, really before anybody even noticed it was going on or what it was about. The other reason I call it a shadow movement is it has kind of two modes of operation. Right now, we're seeing this tremendous overreach where they think that it may be a politically popular strategy to go up against birth control or to mandate, you know, vaginal probes for women who want to have first trimester abortions. But Americans really don't agree with this kind of stuff. And whenever they're front and center, they get voted out of office. And the far-right politicians in the Republican Party who they've elected get voted out of office. And then they go into their stealth mode, which is to really recast themselves as something else. So the most recent example of this is the Tea Party that presented itself as a freedom-loving, small government political movement when the polls show that up to half of Tea Party identifiers really identify with the far-right religious right and have disproportionately conservative views on abortion and gay civil rights.
So the Tea Party movement isn't so much for economic issues, but it's for these social sexual issues?
Well, I think that's why we see the moment that the Tea Party comes into power in Congress, one of the first major things that they do is pass a law against abortion and then almost shut down the federal government over birth control. I mean, in this moment when we're talking about birth control again, we have to remember that in April of 2011, the Republican Party almost shut down the government over birth control, over funding for birth control and Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand when you mention, you know, 15 to 20% of the population has these views against birth control or against abortion. How so many politicians can also have those views? If you know what I'm saying, they're not representing constituents.
Yes. Well, the loudest voices get the most attention. So this 15 to 20% is a very well-organized group that really focuses its activism on electoral politics. And they have kind of taken over local and state Republican parties and have kind of tipped the primaries in the Republican elections, so that they've really run out moderates in the party. At the same time, they not only kind of ran out the moderate politicians, but they really turned off a lot of historically Republican voters. Women used to vote more Republican than Democratic. The Republican Party used to be the party of women's rights and the pro-choice party. And so women and professionals and mainline Protestants over the past 30 years have started voting more Democratic. So the Republican Party has become a much narrower segment of the American population. So it's not surprising we're seeing this particularly during a very highly contested Republican primary.
We are talking with Nancy Cohen, who is author of Delirium, How the Sexual Counter-Revolution is Polarizing America, talking about all of the sex-related legislation that is on the minds of our politicians today in states all over the country and on the presidential campaign trail, issues like coverage of birth control to limiting access to abortions to women's rights and gay civil rights. Why do you think this is happening? What questions do you have? Do you think this is due to this sexual counter-revolution? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Checking our weather forecast for today, the winter weather advisory for southern Wisconsin is in effect through 9 o'clock this morning. 4 to 6 inches of snow is expected by the time it's done. And be careful on your commute, as there certainly can be some snow covered in slippery roads out there. Today, we can expect that snow to gradually end. Highs will be in the upper 20s to mid-30s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 8 this morning, it's our Friday Week in Review. We'll have two guests from different political perspectives covering all the big political news of the week in our Week in Review from 8 until 9. It's also your views on the news after 4 o'clock this afternoon during At Issue with Ben Marins. Call in and talk about what you think was the week's most significant news story coming up after 4. Your views on the news. We are talking with the author of the book Delirium, How the Sexual Counter-Revolution is Polarizing America. Nancy Cohen is with us. We are talking with her about what this sexual counter-revolution is all about, and how it explains why we are seeing so many sexually related issues in the news these days, from birth control to abortion to many others. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And I did want to ask you about some of the issues that are in the news this morning, Nancy, in that NPR, one of the lead stories this week is that the Maryland Senate passed a bill legalizing gay marriage. And so this is going to be on the governor's desk, and gay marriage will be legalized in Maryland. Does that conflict with what you're telling us?
No, I mean, it actually confirms it, because what I'm talking about is the polarization on these social issues. So there's 15 to 20% of the country that really wants to go backwards. But mainstream America, the majority of Americans, believe in fairness to our gay fellow citizens. They certainly don't want to go backwards on women's rights and women's equality in the workforce and in the military. And so you see this kind of constant, you know, back and forth. When the majority organizes, they're able to advance these progressive cultural measures. So all the polling since about late 2009 show a majority of Americans in support of gay marriage. A small majority, but a majority. So that is the mainstream opinion right now, and the Maryland legislature kind of enacted that. But, you know, it took a lot of very concerted political organizing and legislative maneuvering to do that, because, you know, the way our legislatures work is a minority or an interest group that wants to stop things can also have an effect and win their legislation, even though it's not the majority.
And it looks like opponents of gay marriage in Maryland are going to try to get this on the ballot to try to stop it.
Right, and we'll see. You know, that will be a very expensive campaign, and it will have a lot to do with how well the campaign is run. The result isn't necessarily going to be a true reflection of popular opinion. I mean, that's partly what happened in California in 2008, is honestly the people who were opposed to the anti-gay marriage proposition, Prop 8, ran a really terrible political campaign. And interestingly, it had a lot to do with, you know, one of the key issues that's been going on in Maryland is whether you can reach out to an older conservative African-American community that opposes gay marriage on religious grounds to see whether you can persuade that group or enough in that group to go along with something as a matter of civil rights, even if it conflicts with their personal religious beliefs.
Yeah.
In California, they just they had a lot of potential ways to influence the African-American vote, such as with Obama's endorsement of the no side, that California shouldn't pass that, but they didn't use it. And, you know, O'Malley's been very different on that.
Well, another issue front and center this week, talk some about this debate. Oh, in Virginia, the governor of Virginia did back off a bill that would have forced women to go through a transvaginal ultrasound before having an abortion.
Yes, well, this is a really interesting one, if you give me a moment mm-hmm. to explain. So he backed off in that the ultrasound wouldn't be internal, a vaginal probe, but he hasn't backed off of the idea that there should be ultrasounds for the legally protected right to have an abortion. And so, you know, which the what he's calling for requires getting naked and, you know, having the state mandate what a doctor should do still. It's just not inside a woman. So this is a good example of how the far right moves the debate so far to the right that we can, those of us who believe in personal freedom and women's rights, consider it a victory when, you know, the ultrasound is just going to be outside instead of inside. Now, but it does show that McDonnell, who has vice presidential ambitions and presidential ambitions, has realized this is a losing issue and that he doesn't want to be identified with these really extreme measures against sexual freedom and women's rights.
We have many callers, so let's go to Nate in Milwaukee first. Hello, Nate.
Hi, thanks for having me. I think that what the guest is talking about is probably true for a large group of people, but let me point out that I don't fit in either box, and I think there might be other people like me in the future in that I'm very much for gay marriage. I have support for single mothers who would like childcare, but it's not about sex. For abortion and me, I'm very pro-life because I see abortion as denying somebody else the ability to experience the life that I am. And so it's, like I said, not about sex. It's about somebody else having the same abilities as me. And I would compare abortion to slavery in that, sure, there are a lot of religious people involved in the anti-slavery movement, but it's almost an equality issue. Not that I want women to be beat down, but I feel that there's a third party that gets absolutely no respect or credit mm-hmm. or along those lines.
Nate, thanks for calling. Do you have any problem with women getting free access to birth control to try to prevent pregnancies?
It depends on what you call birth control, and this is a topic that wasn't really covered during this latest flap in that I don't have a problem with condoms, but some of the pills are what they call abortifacients, or if I got the word wrong, I'm sorry, but basically it means it's an abortion only easier, and that is kind of a problem for me. I don't have a problem with a condom or some of the surgical procedures, but I do count taking a pill that makes an abortion easier as an abortion.
Yeah. All right. Well, react to that, Nancy Cohen. Here's a, he says he's not against the sex. He just doesn't want abortions to occur.
Yes, Nate, I appreciate your comments. And I know there are people like you who have these mixed views on a lot of issues. So I guess what I would say is that there is, you know, there's no medical expert who believes that the pill and the IUD work as to induce abortion, that if they are abortive sessions, that they what they do, their medical effect is to prevent fertilization. And what I have seen doing the research is that it's really the very extreme elements of the anti-abortion movement and far right of the anti-abortion movement who have defined these methods of birth control as abortion as a way to convince people that using birth control is a method of abortion. And if you read the other things that they say, and I'm not saying that it's something that you believe, but it really is connected to this idea that women should not be having sex unless it's for the purposes of having children. The kinds of emails that I get when I write about this, about women, I can't even say on a radio show there's, you know, such attacks on women who think that, you know, having sex is okay.
Let me bring in another caller before news time, Virginia in Janesville. Hello, Virginia.
Hi, I'm calling to tell my personal experience, but also to tell old women who lived, I'm 66, women about my age, who lived in Wisconsin when birth control was illegal, which hasn't been that long ago, that there is a demonstration outside of Paul Ryan's Janesville office today about his refusals on contraception. It's called Let Women Speak, and it's at his Janesville office, 20 South Main, starting at 12 noon.
Yeah.
And I'm going because when I was a young girl, I went to the doctor to get contraception. And the first thing I noticed was it was, I didn't even know it was illegal in Wisconsin. Birth control pill was out, and I noticed the praying hands on his desk. He had a little statue of hands that were in prayer. It was on Wisconsin Avenue. And I asked him for birth control, and he shamed me. He gave me big moral lecture, and I went out of that office and never tried to get birth control again.
Virginia, I want to thank you very much for sharing your story and telling us about why you're protesting in front of Paul Ryan's Janesville office today. We have news from National Public Radio coming up next and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about why issues related to birth control, abortion, women's rights, gay rights are dominating the news so much in recent weeks, and why we aren't more concerned about jobs and the economy. Our guest attributes the focus and the polarization in politics that is going on today to what she says is the sexual counter-revolution. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 7:37 on this Friday, February the 24th. We are talking with the author of Delirium, How the Sexual Counter-Revolution is Polarizing America, talking about how some politicians in Washington and here in Wisconsin and in many other states around the country are trying to turn back the clock on the progressive movement and policy changes that have been made since the sexual revolution some 40 years ago. So why do you think all of these sexually related issues are front and center in politics today? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Nancy L. Cohen is a historian, contributor to the Huffington Post, and author of Delirium, How the Sexual Counter-Revolution is Polarizing America. I wonder, Nancy, if you have a reaction to our caller's story just before news time. Virginia in Janesville said many years ago when she went to her doctor's office as a young woman seeking birth control, she was shamed by him and never even apparently ever went back to try to get birth control after that. She also noted that he was a doctor who had a statue of praying hands on his desk.
Yes, I mean, quite a story. Not surprising, though, when you remember that birth control was illegal in many states, you know, just 50 years ago, and that people were actually imprisoned for distributing birth control. Kind of amazing. And I think a lot of younger women don't really know this fact. So when the, you know, Mitt Romney a few weeks ago swatted away a question about birth control and said, oh, no one wants to outlaw birth control. But in fact, the judicial policies that Romney and Santorum and Gingrich are all talking about really would open the door to states banning birth control again. Mm-hmm. And we particularly see it in these personhood amendments.
Yeah, we have one of those in Wisconsin. It's not getting a lot of attention right now, but it has been introduced and is in the legislature. And Wisconsin's not alone. There are several states that are doing this.
Yes, yes. So the personhood amendments would define life as beginning at fertilization of an egg. And as we were just talking about with the previous caller, that would effectively outlaw the pill, outlaw the IUD, outlaw stem cell research, outlaw in vitro fertilization treatments. Now, this is not something that Wisconsin wants or something that, 80% of Americans want. But it is something that this tiny minority of people with quite extreme views are very passionate about.
I want you to react to a clip that was in the news just a week or so ago. This was the super PAC backer of Rick Santorum, Foster Freeze, when he was being interviewed over contraception insurance coverage on MSNBC. And this is what he had to say about that.
This contraceptive thing, my gosh, it's such inexpensive. You know, back in my days, they used bare aspirin for contraceptives. The gals put it between their knees, and it wasn't that costly.
I don't think you think that's too funny, Nancy.
so absurd that it's funny, but it's very, very revealing that, it's the sex, stupid. It's not about abortion. It is about controlling women's sexuality. And, when you let someone like that speak freely, you hear about it. It's, it's just the reincarnation of what your caller Virginia experienced 40 years ago when she went to the doctor. So what he's saying there is that abstinence is the way to prevent pregnancy, right? And he's also factually wrong. Birth control, reliable birth control, happens to be quite expensive. The pill and its variations can cost, $500 to $1,000 a year. The upfront cost of an IUD is close to $500. The studies show that up to half of unplanned pregnancies are due to women, particularly in kind of the 18 to 34 age group, being unable to afford contraception. Mm-hmm. For people who do want to stop abortion, we really do need to think about birth control and making birth control more affordable.
And we also heard Virginia say that she was going to be participating in a protest outside of Wisconsin Congressman Paul Ryan's office in Janesville, a protest that is being called Let Women Speak. That apparently has to do with that hearing in Congress where no women were a part of the testimony.
Yes, yes. That was last week's hearing with IFA about birth control, where not only weren't any women there on the panel, but they actually prevented a woman from speaking about her experience. She was on the witness list, and they said that she couldn't actually come and testify because she wasn't an expert on the subject of the panel, which was supposedly religious liberty. So, religious liberty is a widely shared value in America. Condemning birth control isn't. And I think what's revealing here is that this kind of panic over birth control has a lot to do with women, and it has a lot to do with controlling women's sexuality. And that has been, that's the theater of the Republican Party recently. So, for example, with Santorum being in the lead, where he says birth control is not okay because it encourages people to do things they shouldn't do. And he's also kind of waffly on the question of whether women should have equal rights in the workplace, or whether it is okay for a woman to work and not focus on being a wife and a mother.
You want to react to what happened in Wisconsin's legislature this week, where one of our legislative bodies repealed what was called the Equal Pay Enforcement Act, which would allow people who were discriminated in the workplace, mainly women not getting equal pay for equal work, they could sue for punitive damages as well as back pay. They took away the right to sue for punitive damages.
Yes, I mean, I honestly don't know what they're thinking, because really, you know, the vast, vast majority of Americans support equal pay for women. This happened on the national level at the beginning of the Obama administration, too, with the Lilly Ledbetter Act, which was restoring the right to sue for equal pay. And, you know, people like women, Republican women like Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann, were against that. So it's hard to tell. This may be a case of, you know, the alliance in the Republican Party between the business interests that don't want any regulation that might cost them more money, even if it means, you know, abiding by the laws, and the sexual fundamentalists in the base.
Let's take Tim in Price now. Hello, Tim.
Hi.
Yes,
Hello.
Tim. Yes, go ahead, Tim. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just, my general feeling about the whole issue is related to these sexual political issues that seem to come up every time when it's the election year, is that when the Congress was controlled by the Republicans a few years back, both houses and the presidency was a Republican, the main topic was abortion again, and they talked about it, they yelled about it, but they didn't do anything about it when they were in. So I see that it's pretty consistent. If there's a volatile issue, it could be on race or the sexual mores of Americans, the Republicans or the Democrats will zoom in on it.
All right. So I guess Tim is saying that even when the Republicans have control of political power, they're not doing anything about these issues.
Well, you know, they're not doing anything that really breaks through in the national press, but they're doing a lot kind of under the radar that really does restrict access to abortion, restricts access to sex education, restricts funding internationally. So here's an example. President Bush was widely praised for his initiatives on funding AIDS treatment and research internationally. But that program included a provision that abstinence had to be taught as one of the preventive measures, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, most people around the world who are at risk of AIDS are married women, right? So you have this weird kind of American sexual puritanicalism dictating what our international policy on AIDS was going to be. You know, under Bush, all funding for scientifically accurate sex education was eliminated. States had to, you know, if they wanted to do that, had to do it with their state funds. His Supreme Court nominee, Harriet Myers, was nixed by the far-right Republicans because she said she believed in the right to privacy, which is the doctrine on which laws against birth control were ruled unconstitutional. So there is actually a lot going on that just doesn't break through when we're talking about national politics.
Let me get another quick one from Marty in Beloit before our weather break. Hello, Marty.
Hi. I have a point's a little different. In my family, we have lots of heart problems and cancer problems. We have an autistic grandchild. And I found out that there are a number of organizations. The two that come to mind are the American Cancer Society and the American Heart Association. They do not fund embryonic stem cell research, which is, I think, just completely wrong. And I would have to say my wife has a double mastectomy, and we give our contribution to the Paul Carbone Institute at the University of Wisconsin because they do believe in embryonic stem cell research.
Marty, thank you for the call, and I'm sorry for the sadness in your life. Nancy, is this related to the counter-sexual revolution?
Yes, it is. And Marty, I'm so sorry to hear about all the things you're struggling with. And I think we need to put a human face on this. The sexual counter-revolution has had a really awful impact on people. It's led to real suffering in this country. So I think what's happening with the American Cancer Society, the American Heart Association, is something like what happened with the Komen Foundation.
Right.
Is that the sexual counter-revolution, it works through politics, but it's almost, it's like an octopus. Its arms are everywhere. And so it has really, really the far-right activists have intimidated nonprofit organizations into not doing what would be a medically sensible and humane policy because they don't want the controversy. And you can see with what happened with the Komen Foundation why they would shy away and try to stay under the radar with these things. So I think the more that we expose how the effects of the sexual counter-revolution, the better not only our public policies are going to be, but the better our civil society will be.
Thank you, Marty, for the call. We are talking with Nancy Cohen, who is author of Delirium, How the Sexual Counter-Revolution is Polarizing America, talking about why we are seeing so much in the news because of political activity dealing with contraception coverage and abortion laws and other sexually related issues, talking about how this is this is a backlash of sorts of the sexual revolutions of the 1960s. Well, we welcome your thoughts and questions, maybe your examples of this sexual counter-revolution. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking the weather forecast for today. Snow ending today with highs in the upper 20s to mid 30s. There is a chance of some snow showers again tonight. Tomorrow, northern Wisconsin has a chance of snow and highs tomorrow in the low 20s to the low 30s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay with us for our week in review coming up after 8 o'clock. We'll talk about all the top state, national, and international news stories of the week coming up in our week in review. Right now, we're talking with Nancy Cohen, who is author of Delirium, How the Sexual Counter-Revolution is Polarizing America. And here's an email from Buzz in Cashton. He writes, "Birth control wasn't even a topic until George Stephanopoulos asked Mitt Romney about it. Romney was incredulous. Why are we talking about this?" Romney said. And then the Catholic Church was told by the Obama administration that they had to offer and pay for birth control for their employees, hospitals, and schools. This was not even an issue, but the Democrats have made it one. What's your reaction to that, Nancy?
Well, actually, that's not true. If you look at the earlier debates and you look at the discussions within the Republican Party and listening to Republicans going on Fox News, they were talking about birth control and they were talking about being 100% pro-life, which, as we talked about earlier, these personhood amendments and these constitutional amendments would outlaw birth control. Santorum has written quite a bit about his opposition to birth control, and Romney told Mike Huckabee that he supported these constitutional amendments defining life beginning at conception. And so Stephanopoulos was asking, the Harvard-trained lawyer what that meant, given that if he wanted to see Roe v. Wade and Griswold overturned, that would open the door to state bans on contraception. Now, Romney wanted to run a campaign on the economy, but, this constant challenge from the not Romney conservative has forced him to go more and more to the right on social issues. Now, and on the issue of the Catholic Church, When they started organizing 7 months ago, they were really quite clear that this was about sex. It wasn't about religious liberty.
We also heard Rick Santorum in the debate. Well, all of the candidates in the most recent GOP debate were asked about the birth control issue. And there was some griping by the Republican candidates, like and the audience, as why are we talking about this?
Right. Well, it's ironic because it is the Republican audiences that have forced the candidates so far to the right and so far out of the mainstream. Now, Santorum actually does represent the views of the Republican base. That defines itself as 100% pro-life, which means outlawing abortion in cases of rape and incest as well, and basically outlawing the pill and the IUD. And so they do know, basically the base is the gatekeeper. And so they say that the economy is their number one issue, but that's only because they got every Republican candidate to sign on to a pretty far-right agenda on the social issues to be competitive in the primary.
So if this continues and these various sexually related issues are in this campaign, I mean, this is something that's actually going to benefit, if you're right, and most people are on the left on this, that this is going to help President Obama in re-election.
Yes. History suggests that Obama will be helped by this. So there are a few elections where we had these social issues pushed by the right, front and center, and that was in 1992 when George H.W. Bush ran on a family values kind of holy war campaign pushed on him by Pat Robertson and Pat Buchanan and the Christian Coalition. It happened again, and they lost on that. It happened in 1998. After the Republicans impeached Clinton, even though two-thirds of the country said they didn't want Clinton impeached, they lost that election big time. Happened in 2006 when people felt that George Bush had gone too far to the right, to the social right. And so when we're talking about these issues, the public recoils and votes these people out of office.
Let's go to Paul in Elkhorn. Hello, Paul. We're almost out of time. I'm sorry. Can you please be brief?
Sure. Your guest keeps talking about that the personhood amendments would outlaw the pill. It would outlaw only things that terminate some life. So, for example, the old-fashioned pill that stops ovulation would not be outlawed, and various other things would not be outlawed. So I think she's at the very least being a little deceptive on this.
Nancy, are you?
Well, yes. No, I am not. I'm kind of basing this on medical records. But I think most women want the most reliable birth control and look at the idea of outlawing the most modern effective birth controls as really far out of the mainstream and something that they don't want to see their government telling them what to do.
Because there are birth controls that will prevent a fertilized egg from implanting in the uterus.
All birth controls work to prevent fertilization.
Yeah, and so those types of birth control would be outlawed too under an amendment?
No, well, the problem is that the people pushing this amendment say, as your caller just said, that these birth control pills work in a way, in fact, that they don't work. So they've redefined science for their political objectives.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'm sorry, we're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy. Good talking to you and to your listeners.
Nancy Cohen, author of Delirium, How the Sexual Counter-Revolution is Polarizing America. Thanks to Amanda Magnus and to Bill Martins for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.